Well, what we are seeing here in Minnesota, I believe, is a direct result of our welcoming the way we welcome everyone and the way we uplift everyone. And what I mean by that is that we were the first state to have a Muslim congressman in Keith Ellison. We were the first state to have a Muslim congresswoman in Ilhan Omar, who has been serving honorably and serving CD5, and has been a rock star for all of us, and a voice that we truly needed. What we're seeing in the last few years is that I think since 2024 there has been over a dozen instances of attacks on mosques, for example. Minnesota has had, I believe, the first and only mosque being bombed in the entire nation, over $3 million in damages, three mosques fully burned to the ground. Myself, and other Muslim elected officials have been receiving threats on email and social media,
We have 20 seconds.
and through social media. And so the rise in hate we've been seeing has been a direct result of also Trump being elected. But in terms of campaigns, we've seen also Democratic campaigns latch onto this and use it in their own messaging and through their PACs to try to win their elections. And so rather than going on the defense for one another, they've been using it to sow more hate.
Well, I want to thank you, Omar Fateh, for joining us. Democratic Socialist Minnesota State Senator, Minneapolis mayoral candidate. The election is Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Dr. Demento, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that too. Call our car donation experts at the Center for Car Donations to find out more info, ask questions, and support KBOO. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support is available by text or phone call to 988. More information is available at 988oregon.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, a judge says the USDA must pay for SNAP during the federal government shutdown, but benefits could still be delayed.
Portland Mayor Keith Wilson will start enforcing the homeless camping ban on Saturday.
And tribal leaders and scientists gather in Portland to work to safeguard the Northwest's water, orcas, and salmon.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, October 31st, 2025. I'm Althea Billings.
And I'm Sam Bowman. The U.S. Department of Agriculture must send out Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, or SNAP, as soon as possible, according to a federal judge. The decision came down just one day before funding for SNAP was set to end during the government shutdown that's ongoing. This ruling came shortly after another federal judge in a separate case said that the Trump administration's plan to not pay out SNAP benefits was unlawful. But that decision stopped short of ordering the Trump administration to send out the funds anyway. Judge John McConnell said that the USDA must fund SNAP using money held in a contingency fund. He added that if the department finds that the money in the contingency fund is insufficient, then the agency must use other funding sources to make those payments. McConnell said, quote, "There is no doubt that the $6 billion in contingency funds are appropriated funds that are without a doubt necessary to carry out the program's operation. The shutdown of the government through funding doesn't do away with SNAP," end quote. McConnell continued, quote, It is beyond argument that irreparable harm will begin to occur, if it hasn't already occurred, in the terror it has caused some people about the availability of funding for food for their family, end quote. Even with the court ruling, SNAP benefits could be delayed by the time they reach Oregonians. Oregon contracts with a third party that makes the benefits payments, and they have not yet shared a timeline about when those payments will come. The USDA's contingency fund can support SNAP payments through most of November, but it will be up to Congress to pass a spending bill to keep the program afloat after that.
One in six Oregonians rely on SNAP to buy groceries. The program is entirely federally funded, but local governments, nonprofits, and restaurants have been working to try to fill in the gap until the government reopens. Clackamas County declared a state of emergency on Thursday and authorized $100,000 in general fund spending if it's needed. Oregon Food Bank has a directory of free groceries and meals across the state at foodfinder.oregonfoodbank.org. A number of restaurants and coffee shops across the Portland metro area are offering free meals. Heretic Coffee in Portland raised significant community funds to offer free breakfast to people who need it. Nan's Taqueria in Happy Valley is making meals for anyone who asks. Creekside Barbecue in Vancouver has already served 27 shutdown specials, according to their Facebook. Donutland in Tualatin is offering free SNAP breakfasts, too. Oregon Live compiled a list of these restaurants and coffee shops on their website. Hunger and food insecurity experts point out that philanthropy isn't enough to truly supplant SNAP's benefits. They say people who aren't relying on SNAP can help by donating to local food banks and volunteering, joining a mutual aid group, or helping to stock a community fridge. Food banks also accept non-food items like personal care products.
Washingtonians will soon be able to enroll in the Affordable Care Act health insurance coverage through Washington's state marketplace. Amid the uncertainty around Affordable Care Act subsidies, experts warn against falling for misinformation while making insurance choices. Isabel Charlet has more.
With open enrollment underway and federal funding in flux, experts say Washingtonians should rely on trusted sources for accurate healthcare information. The open enrollment period for people buying health insurance through Washington Health Plan Finder, the state's Affordable Care Act marketplace, is November 1st to January 15th. Aaron Vantile with the Washington State Office of the Insurance Commissioner says there are still questions about the plans and prices that will be available this season.
300,000 people in Washington last year got their insurance through Washington Health Plan Finder and the Health Benefits Exchange. For those people, the premium tax credits could mean a massive difference in the price of their premium.
Enhanced federal subsidies through the Affordable Care Act that keep costs lower for people buying private insurance expire at year's end unless Congress votes to continue them. 12 health insurers have been approved to sell individual health plans in Washington's exchange in 2026. Insurers requested a 21% rate increase, but that could go up significantly if ACA subsidies are not extended. Vantile explains there are off-market options for coverage, including short-term medical plans for temporary gaps and healthcare sharing ministries, which he says are not insurance and lack consumer protections. He advises people to be cautious when looking at these options.
If you're looking for something that's outside the Health Benefits Exchange and the Health Plan Finder, just make sure you know what you're getting into before you sign up for anything.
A recent survey found that 43% of people regret a health decision they've made because of misleading information. With so much health advice circulating online, Dr. Rhonda Randall, Chief Medical Officer with United Healthcare, urges enrollees to be vigilant against scams and false claims.
You want to make sure that you're checking the source, that you're getting your information from a credentialed medical professional or a reputable organization. Look to see if they've included links to research.
Randall says no matter the situation, start the enrollment process early to give yourself enough time to make an informed decision. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
Portland Mayor Keith Wilson says he will start enforcing the city's homeless camping ban tomorrow, November 1st. It's been on the books since Ted Wheeler was mayor, but it hasn't been enforced. It bans people from camping in public spaces when alternative shelter is available. If someone doesn't agree to move, they can get a $100 ticket or a week in jail. Wilson had not asked police to enforce that law while he focused on getting overnight shelter beds available across the city. He's made some progress in getting more of those beds, but only 50 to 60% are used each night. Compare that to county shelters, which have a nearly 92% usage rate. He's aiming for 1,500 overnight beds by December 1st. And now a month out, Wilson says police can start ticketing homeless Portlanders. But those who have to communicate the policy and respond to the potential fallout are not clear about what it will look like. That includes service providers like Rosehaven, a day center for women and non-binary Portlanders. It also includes the criminal court system, which would be tasked with handling the cases against unhoused Portlanders. Chief Criminal Court Judge Michael Greenlich told OPB, quote, "I'm not sure what the mayor's plan is," end quote. The court system is already strained by a severe lack of public defenders for people accused of a crime. The Constitution guarantees a right to a fair trial and to representation. Without public defenders, those rights are lost.
Multnomah County's Preschool for All program is adding over 200 new free seats mid-year. Families can start applying on Monday. These new seats include brand new providers and expansions at existing providers. All told, there are 3,800 free preschool seats in the county this year. Rachel Pearl is the Interim Preschool and Early Learning Division Director at the county. Pearl said in a statement, quote, "This mid-year expansion is an important part of making high-quality preschool accessible for every family in Multnomah County. We are thrilled to add hundreds of additional seats with both new and trusted partners, bringing us closer to our goal of universal preschool by 2030," end quote. Voters approved the Preschool for All measure in 2020. The initiative intends to create tuition-free, high-quality, and culturally responsive preschool for all interested families, regardless of income level. Families with eligible 3- and 4-year-old kids can apply online at pfa.multco.us.
As the government shutdown deepens, the debate over food aid sharpens, and a federal judge weighs emergency action to keep SNAP benefits flowing. Activists say pregnant migrants are at risk in ICE detention, and Ohio faces a last-minute redistricting fight. With those stories and more, it's Farah Siddiqui with 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I've lived through several government shutdowns in my time here. Nobody wins. This is something we ought to be able to work out. It's simply funding the government so that we can fund the rest of the government through the normal appropriations process.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota is again accusing Democrats of playing politics and says Republicans are focused on reopening the government. Federal food assistance will stop for more than 40 million Americans November 1st. Emily Weikert Bryant with Feeding Indiana's Hungry says food pantries are bracing for when SNAP benefits go away for 850,000 Hoosiers.
Food banks will be one of the first places families turn. Our member food banks are working with faith-based and community pantries across the state. Our food banks adapt quickly to meet the moment.
President Donald Trump says he'll cut, quote, Democrat programs in the shutdown. But a Boston federal judge says she may compel the administration to use billions in the USDA emergency fund to keep SNAP running, as the White House did during a shutdown in Trump's first term. District Judge Indira Talwani says it's hard to understand how this isn't an emergency when there's no money and people are hungry. Meanwhile, the number of pregnant migrant women in ICE custody is rising, and advocates say the conditions in detention are putting lives at risk. Melanie Nazer with the Women's Refugee Commission says new data show alarming situations are causing miscarriages, in spite of federal policies which should limit such detentions.
We have learned that women are miscarrying in detention, that women are not getting the nutrition that they need for healthy pregnancies, and that they are showing up after being deported malnourished. So that's a huge concern.
ICE insists women in custody receive proper care, but Nazer and the commission says the agency refuses to release medical data and has forced researchers to travel abroad to interview deported women. In Ohio, the redistricting commission faces a deadline today to vote on a proposed map it released just one day ago. Spencer Derig with the Ohio Environmental Council says state voters approved reforms years ago to make redistricting more transparent, but lawmakers have ignored them. He warns they seem set to push through a partisan map with little public input.
Let's be very clear. The current congressional map is an unconstitutional gerrymander, and the map that they are proposing is also an unconstitutional gerrymander.
California voters look likely to approve a Democratic redistricting plan when they go to the polls next week. Trump is ordering the Energy Department to restart nuclear weapons testing for the first time in 3 decades, saying America must keep pace with China and Russia. And the administration's new refugee quota, 7,500, mostly white South Africans, marks the lowest in history. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you? Well, they're too good.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, your look behind the headlines with fairness and accuracy in reporting. At 6, it's the kickoff of KBOO's 12-hour Halloween marathon. Tonight's weather will be rainy with an overnight low of 45 degrees. Tomorrow's weather will be rainy with a high of 62 degrees. Today in history, in 2000, the Soyuz TM-31 launches, carrying the first resident crew to the International Space Station. It's been crewed continuously ever since. The quote of the day is from English poet John Keats, born this day in 1795. He wrote, quote, "A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us and a sleep full of sweet dreams and health and quiet breathing."
This week, tribal leaders and scientists gathered at the Portland Expo Center for Rise Up Northwest in Unity Convening. It's an annual 2-day gathering focused on safeguarding the Northwest's precious life sources, water, orcas, and salmon. KPFA's Scott Chaplin reports.
My name is Kaylani Scott, and I'm the executive director for the Columbia Snake River Campaign. Yeah. We just finished our Rise Up Northwest in Unity Convening for 2025. This event was really born out of a need to bring the Northwest together around the things that matter, the life sources that we all depend on. Our life sources, which are often referred to as natural resources, are in fact resources of life. And we bring communities together and are building a movement for the restoration and protection of life sources. Life sources that includes our first foods, that's the salmon, the wildlife, the roots and vegetables. It's about the land and the water and ensuring that all of these things we care about continue to be maintained and stay available and accessible for future generations. And so we plan these convenings as a 2-day opportunity to learn and listen and have an open heart and mind to better understand how you can be involved and why these things matter. And we have topics, a huge array of topics that really, it's for everyone. We bring in the youth. Youth voices are such an important part. They are the leaders of today. We talk about political issues and how the work and advocacy to restore and protect life sources should be bipartisan issues. We talk about tribal inherent rights and the treaties that are so imperative to ensuring that tribes can continue to fish, hunt, and gather on their ancestral lands. And we talk about the importance of partnerships between those tribes and NGOs and businesses and individuals. At the end of the day, there's something for everyone, and there's something everyone can do. And so these opportunities through Rise Up Northwest and Unity really allow and bring people into space and community for action to take place and for relationships to be built.
That was Kaylani Scott, an enrolled Spokane tribal member and the executive director of the Snake River Campaign.
Volunteers are searching for a missing tribal elder on the Umatilla Reservation in Oregon. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. This weekend on the Umatilla Indian Reservation in Oregon, volunteers will search for 71-year-old Wesley Dixon Jones, a tribal elder who's been missing since October 5th. As Buffalo's Fire senior reporter Brian Bull explains, the search team is testing a device that the coordinator says could be a game changer.
Kimberly Lenning of MMIW Search and Hope Alliance out of Portland says Aqua Eye Pro bounces echoes off underwater objects, then compares them to the echoes of a human body.
It scans 1 acre of water up to 180 feet about every 30 minutes. And that is what we're going to take down on the deep pockets of the Umatilla on our search. If Mr. Jones is in the water, this will find him.
Jones's daughter, Molly Ann, is hopeful the device will deliver.
And also utilizing canines and divers to help locate my father. Right now, this is very, very important, utilizing that resource.
Lenning says her group is using the Aqua Eye on a trial basis. She hopes perhaps donors will cover the $29,000 cost of one they can use permanently. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
The government shutdown is delaying funding for a federal heating assistance program. In Alaska, thousands of low-income families use the program to offset their heating costs and to weatherize their homes for winter. Many of them are tribal citizens. The Alaska Desk's Ayolna Naiden has more.
The Alaska Department of Health said in a statement Thursday that the government shutdown has delayed the release of money for the federal low-income home energy assistance program for the year of 2026. The program subsidizes energy bills for about 50,000 Alaskans, many of whom live in rural and tribal communities. Jennifer Hyde is a federal infrastructure coordinator at the statewide nonprofit, the Alaska Center.
It definitely benefits a lot of rural and tribal communities. Disproportionately, those communities are often, you know, low income or have different economic struggles.
For now, the state health officials say they are operating the program using the remaining money from the previous year, and they say they expect that money to run out by mid-November. The department said it usually takes 4 to 6 weeks for the heating assistance funds to be released to states after the shutdown is over. Alaska tribal organizations are raising the alarm. The Tenant and Chiefs Conference administers heating assistance for over 1,200 households. Amber Vasca is the executive director of Tribal Government and Client Services at the organization. She said by email that the federal program is, quote, a lifeline across the interior, end quote. Vasca said that the program, which also helps people weatherize their homes to cut on heating costs, is a way to ensure pipes don't freeze when temperatures drop to minus 50. The government shutdown is also affecting other programs crucial for Alaska Native communities, like food assistance and Tribal Head Start. Hyde, with the Alaska Center, says families who rely on heating assistance are the same vulnerable residents who will be affected by the loss of food benefits.
It's going to be a really tough winter unless something can give.
In the meantime, the State Department of Health said its staff is prioritizing applications by focusing on households in the heating emergency or at immediate risk of losing heat. I am Alona Naiden.
Tribes across the country are preparing for the halt of federal food benefits beginning November 1st due to the government shutdown. The Shawnee Tribe in Oklahoma declared an emergency this week, releasing emergency funds to help citizens who may lose their benefits. Chief Ben Barnes said in a statement the federal government may be closed, but the Shawnee Tribe's government remains open, and no Shawnee family should go hungry because of political dysfunction in Washington. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Youth plaintiffs are appealing a federal court's dismissal of their climate lawsuit against the Trump administration, arguing that specific executive orders violate their constitutional rights by exacerbating climate harms. Tramell Gomes has more on the story.
A federal lawsuit filed by 22 young plaintiffs arguing President Donald Trump's executive orders violate their constitutional right by accelerating climate change has been appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Reporting from our news partners at KFF Health News found that while a Montana district court dismissed the case on procedural grounds, it made significant findings. Nate Bellinger, a senior attorney with Our Children's Trust, representing the plaintiffs, says the court acknowledged the severe impact on youth.
The court found
that the plaintiffs are being harmed by climate change and fossil fuel pollution, actually recognized that there's a children's health emergency right now due to climate change. And the court also found that the challenged executive orders are making climate change worse, are exacerbating the plaintiffs' injuries.
The case Lighthizer v. Trump challenges three executive orders that the plaintiffs say are designed to increase fossil fuel use, block renewable energy, and dismantle climate science. However, in court filings, the Trump administration has consistently held that these claims are political questions unfit for the judiciary. The plaintiffs are pushing forward with their appeal. Bellinger notes that despite the dismissal, the lower court recognized the gravity of the situation, especially considering testimony given last month in Missoula from plaintiffs like Joseph Lee, a 19-year-old California resident.
He described how he has been hospitalized and actually nearly died as a result of extreme heat. Several of the other plaintiffs have described the really debilitating and severe impacts to their lungs due to wildfire smoke.
The legal strategy follows a successful precedent in Montana, where the state Supreme Court affirmed a constitutional right to a stable climate. This is Tramell Gomes for Big Sky Connection.
One energy efficiency advocate is highlighting the benefits of heat pumps, which heat and cool homes, by dressing as one for Halloween. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. 'Tis the season for haunted houses and horror movies. But for Brendan Haley of Efficiency Canada, what's truly scary is the idea of people struggling to pay their energy bills. So 2 years ago, for Halloween, he dressed up as a heat pump.
It was basically just a box, a kind of a fan on the end of the box, the Energy Star logo on the side of the box.
Because they're so energy efficient, heat pumps can lower people's heating and cooling costs. For years, Haley's group has pushed for policies to make heat pumps and other energy efficiency upgrades available to low-income households.
We had people meeting with their politicians, we had petitions, we had letter-writing campaigns.
And now, they're celebrating a big win. Canada's government recently launched the Canada Greener Homes Affordability Program, which will pay for heat pumps and efficiency retrofits for qualifying low-income households. Haley says it's an important step forward. But there's always more work to do, and fun to be had, to raise public awareness about energy efficiency.
I was thinking of dressing up like a heat pump hot water heater this season, so, you know, mixing it up slightly.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Now we go to The Point Puzzle, the weekly radio brain teaser produced by Pearl Stark at KPOV Bend. On this week's puzzle, wordplay, a bird, and a timely event.
It's time for the puzzle.
Last week, I asked you to take a city that's been in the news recently. Change the first letter, and you get a type of fall fruit. Well, the answer is Portland, which becomes Cortland. Our winner this week is Jill Schaefer, who listens to KYAQ from Siletz, Oregon. As she beheld it, she said, I misspelled it. Need more precept. These apples are delicious. As a matter of fact, they are, she said. For the new puzzle, start with a bird, reverse the letters, and add one thing you might consider before getting this bird. You will now have a word that you might be thinking about this week. So again, start with a bird, reverse the letters, and add one thing you might consider before getting the bird. You will have a word that you might be thinking about this week. When you have an answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday.
Flying birds. Excellent birds. Watch them fly.
There they go. This has been Pearl Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of October 27th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, October 31st, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Jasmine Moss. Special thanks to Scott Chapin, Pearl Stark, Tramell Gomes, Isabel Charlet, Antonia Gonzalez, Farah Siddiqui, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Althea Billings. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members, lovely folks like you. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Counterspin.
Welcome to Counterspin.